Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Welcome back, sisters. Today, we are diving right into a big old pile of joy because we are talking to the joy stealers, not stealer. That's really bad. Let me start. We are talking to the joy dealer herself, Sandy Joy Weston. Sandy, welcome to the Rock Mover Show, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Karen. By the way, I like joy stealer. That was pretty fun. Yeah. I take joy from everywhere, but I keep joy. So
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so you're the joy repurposer. You take it from everywhere and share it.
Yes.
Like Tinkerbell. So first off, thank you for being here. Thank you for what you do in the world. It's so needed. And for having grace for me to call you a joy stealer, because that was not really what I intended. But, you know, stuff just rolls out and you're just like,
I love it.
Okay, we'll pick up and run with it. But I love the reframe, and that makes it so fun. And we get to just sit here and not take ourselves too serious and have this great conversation about all the wonderful things that have come out of your rocks. So let's start there, and let's talk about what was that catalyst, the rock in your bag that you moved out that has led you to what you do today.
So, you know, I was thinking about that, and my whole life for me, in spite of what happened, I've always felt like the luckiest human on earth.
And because how did you do that? That is amazing.
Because of what I saw around me, which is what I'll get into, and how I was able, they used to call me the energy shifter, shifting me into a positive, powerful place and mindset. And see beyond what was right in front of me, I always felt like I was the luckiest human on earth. Like, I got to share this with the world. And that's why it's been my mission to always, whatever I did, however I did it, was spread joy. And it ended up that my vehicle was health and wellness, but I started out in dance. But let me take you back a little bit. So, I grew up in the projects, which is okay. You know, it wasn't great, but...
So this is on the East Coast.
On the East Coast. Okay. I grew up in the projects. And it wasn't as bad as people think. But the thing that was the toughest is my mom spent most of her life in mental institutions. So I was the kid, not only from the projects, but from what they used to refer to, old lady Weston, crazy Weston. Oh, yeah, she's the daughter of blah, blah, blah. So I had all these rocks in my bag to overcome, that even well-meaning people, I'm going to say well-meaning people, didn't see what I saw my life to be. They would say, just be happy to be the first one to graduate high school. You know, it's okay. You know, and I get it. You know, waitress, pump gas, do whatever you had to do.
Yeah.
But I saw different plans for me. And for me, my vehicle at the time, although I didn't know it, I didn't know it, was what I refer to right now as movement, words, and laughter. So every single day, even as a little kid, I would dance around, you know, just to get myself in a good space. So from the time I was four. And then as I got older, I would add in, I think I remember doing it at 9 years old. I would say, okay, I'm going to think of one word. And if I can focus in on one word, that's how I'm going to show up today. So I'd pick a word, like laughter. I'm going to just laugh.
Where did you get that? Where did you learn that?
You know,
did you pick it up from a TV show, like a kid's TV show, or Mr. Rogers?
But the thing is, and this is the truth, and maybe someday it'll come out, I can't remember a lot of my childhood.
Yeah.
Because I blocked so many things out because it was so painful. But And I, again, at the time, I didn't call it movement, words, and laughter. I was just, I remember dancing since the time I was 4. And then I remember being 9 and thinking, I'm just going to think of a word. And it could be joy, love, whatever. And I'd close my eyes and I'd feel it and I'd visualize it. And then I would write it down in a journal or a book. I would write down the word and think about it. And sometimes I would call it scribble, scrabble, more stuff. But every day we'd dance around, think of a word, and then I would visualize, like an athlete, where I wanted to go and how I was going to get there. Like whether it was joining the 4-H club, you know, or being a cheerleader or anything, or graduating high school and spike the odds. That's what I did every day. I didn't know what I was doing, Karen. I had no idea. I just knew that I didn't want to stay in the projects and that I had to get away from this family who suffered many, many, many issues. And this made me feel better. As it worked out, I ended up getting a scholarship for dance to college to get me out of there. And that was my first big rock that I moved.
And yeah, that's a huge one.
Yeah. And my dance teacher was one of the catalysts, but also I had 5 people that I grew up in the projects that were a little bit older than me. I remember we moved to the projects when I was 9 that really looked out for me. And they didn't want me to end up like that. So they could have been the drug dealer, the local prostitute, you know, the rock and roller.
Yeah.
These 5 people were like, they had my back. They saw something in me that even I couldn't see. And they said, we're counting on you. So they were trying to don't do drugs, don't drink. I mean, I was to the extreme. I didn't even say SHIT until I got to college. I flipped that. And part of it was them, but part of it was like, well, everyone's waiting for me to turn out like my mom. So if I had to be Miss Perfection, like straight A's, straight this, because everyone was like, this is our family. Teachers, counselors, everyone, family members didn't want to have anything to do with us. And at the time, I didn't understand, but I get it. But knew that there was something more for me. I had no idea how much there was for me. I just knew I had it there. And when I got to college, that's when I realized, oh, nobody knows who I am. The old lady West. So I got to live a normal life. And for
like
the first
a clean
month,
slate.
Crazy. I mean, you know, I went to parties and whatever. And then it evened out. But it was like, it was such a great feeling that nobody was looking at me and comparing me. And like I said, it's kind of cool if you make it out of the projects. No one cares about that. But when you have that stigma about your mom in the mental institutions, people look at you differently. They're waiting and, you know, you know, oh, she raised her voice, mate. So it was great relief.
So I think that what you shared just gave me an insight to something about my journey that I really hadn't kind of put into words or articulated. And I'm sure everybody can relate to this in their own way, but, and not to take anything away from what you said, but we all grow up thinking that people are thinking a certain thing about us. They're waiting for us to behave a certain way, like our parents or, you know, like whatever we think they expect. And therefore, we make decisions based on those assumptions. And they may be reinforced by the languages around us or, right, those rocks just tend to get heavier and heavier and heavier. And sometimes it's because of the garbage we throw on top of it, the crap we throw in the bags, because of our beliefs and our assumptions. And we tend to make it so much harder on ourselves, even if it's a really challenging, difficult situation. So So you left, you went to school, you got this dance journey, dance scholarship, and you got to do this and really began to learn who Sandy was, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
And so Sandy started coming out, not Sandy who was so-and-so's daughter. This is just Sandy. Absolutely. She got to figure it all out. And then what? So it's led you to today. And I'm sure other rocks popped up in the middle of that.
Absolutely. Tons.
So tell me about like that from college to today. What happened there?
So there's one.
Which is just like 2 years, right? Like that was just 2 years ago.
And I'm good with it because love, every year I embrace every year. But there's one big pivotal shift that I think is very important, especially for your listeners to hear. There I am, finally make it out, right?
Yep.
Dance scholarship, doing great, Montclair College, you know, going to New York City, auditioning, and meet a guy, fall in love. He was great. He was gorgeous, you know. And my third year of college, I get pregnant. Now, and this is not, wasn't based on a religious decision. I want to make that very clear. And it wasn't based on a political decision. But at the time, felt what was right for me is to have the child. And we were talking about adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Give her up for adoption. I felt it every ounce of my being because I had known people that had waited like 7 years to have kids and couldn't get kids. And there was something in me that thought there's a family out there that's been trying to have kids for 7 years. I don't know why. Well, all my friends were not for it. They're like, are you kidding me? You have no family, no support. You're going to lose your scholarship. You're going to lose everything. And they were furious at me. They were like, don't do that decision. Stay, because look at where you're going. You finally got here. I go, I know. And it looked like I was throwing my life away. I mean, my closest friend's like, I'm done. You're throwing your life away. And I could see why they thought that. But I, for something innately knew this was right for me. And I ended up leaving school, going to this place called the House of Creation out near where I grew up. It was in Coatesville, PA. And they took in college girls who were pregnant, hoping they would be able to carry through with the adoption. And it was the most beautiful experience I've ever had. I ended up asking her a month overdue. God, because back then they couldn't, you know, figure it out.
Yeah.
I nursed her for 3 days in the hospital, wrote a really beautiful note with her that was 10 pages. And back then they were private adoption. So you didn't know where she went, who she was going with, whatever. And thinking that this is one of the most beautiful things I've ever done for somebody in my entire life. The only thing I knew about them at the time, Karen, this is what I knew. Because I would ask these different adoption agencies, well, tell me about them. Tell me about the family. Have they been? And they didn't know what I was thinking, but I had this vision in my head of what the backyard looked like. And they had to be someone that I don't know why I was waiting 7 years. So finally, we couldn't find an agency. And then finally, said, we think we found a couple. I go, just tell me about the backyard. And they go, oh, there's the only thing in the backyard is a broken swing. I'm like, that's it. I had this dream. They had a broken swing in the backyard. And that's all I knew. And after that, I went and to move in with a couple. They call them shepherding homes, where you stayed for a year or two while you got back on your feet. Now, Karen, it was not easy. I took out rocks. I lost everything. My family didn't know I was. They thought I was touring dancing. I had to work 2 to 3 jobs to pay for school. I went part-time. I hitchhiked. I took buses. I couldn't afford a car. I did everything I could. And then I ended up meeting a nice family, dating a guy for 4 years. And during that time, it just ended up being the most magical time in my life, meeting all these beautiful people that supported me while I was in college. Now, the big change was, here I am, going back to school at Westchester. I was a dance major in the health and phys ed department now. So I shipped because I was really interested in how the body worked and the mind worked. And I wanted to combine it with dance. So I did an internship on the main line at a health club where they were doing more like calisthenic aerobics. And I taught them how to infuse dance into it. Well, my classes took off. And the next thing I know, we're going to condense, is here I am as a dance major teaching these big fitness classes. And I would meet all the who's who at the time in the Philadelphia area because we were right on the main line. Mm-hmm. And everyone was coming to my classes and loving them. And then somebody said, will you come train me in my home? And I didn't know what that meant because back then there were no trainers.
Yeah.
I go, okay. And they're like, yeah, we'll pay you X amount of dollars. I'm like, okay. And so started training people in their homes, and I cornered the market. Wow. Next thing I know, a couple years later, I got 15 trainers I'm sending into people. So meantime, I didn't know about money. I didn't know about finance, never owned a business, didn't take one business class. But all these people, Karen, took me under their wing. All the who's who, the big CEOs, owners of sports teams, I felt like Philadelphia's favorite daughter. And they taught me. And it just kept growing. So then I ended up owning a health club and then another health club and another health club. Next thing I know, I'm NBC 10 fitness expert. All because I had one mission: to spread joy. And because I didn't feel like a victim from my circumstances, I thought it was going to get me where I wanted to go and I would learn from it. And I also didn't dwell on it. I lived in the here and now. This is what I wanted to do. This is where I was going. And the people that surrounded me could see that I didn't want anything from them. Like, I didn't know who they were. They were like, oh, I'll do this. I'm like, I don't care. You hired me. I'm here for you. And because they saw that I was truly there to serve them, didn't want to manipulate them to get anything out of them, it just exploded. And the reason I'm saying that is because from something that happened that everyone around me thought I was making the hugest mistake in my life, and rightly so, and throwing everything away, and starting to pile more rocks and more rocks in. But there was something innately that told me this is what I was supposed to do. And I tuned out all the negative chatter. Look at my life. It was beyond what I even dreamt up in my head. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Wow.
I know that was a long story, but I felt it had to be told to say. And then I was there and arrived. And then against everyone's advice, I took a different path. And my son even said to me today, he's 21. Mom, did you do it for religious reasons? I go, I swear, honey, I did it. For me, it was more, this is my destiny. This is my path. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. I think this is such a beautiful example, and thank you for sharing this, of how we each are given a purpose, a plan, a vision, and no one else has that. So when you try to share that with someone, they're not going to have the insights you have or the passion you have. It's like no one else has your fingerprints. And so we have to be careful who we share our dreams with, because if you don't have that fortitude to plunge forward anyway,
absolutely,
you can get your dreams just cut short by people being naysayers because they don't see your vision. They don't see the path before you, and they don't feel, as you said, they don't feel that calling in what you feel. So man, what a beautiful story, Sandy. I love it. Love, love, love. So you went through all of that. Now you mentioned that you've sold those.
Yeah.
So in our side conversation, you sold all of those things and you're doing something beautiful and different now. So tell me about that. How are you helping others move rocks today?
Yeah, so I sold them in 2019 because I got a great offer. Did not know about COVID. Everyone's like, oh my God, you were in the corporate setting. You would have been destroyed again.
Yeah, I just see like God has literally had his hand on you your entire life.
I call God Neil, and Neil's just like the universe. Even other businessmen were like, what the heck? And I'm like,
So I call him Gus, God, universe, source.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Gus and Neil. They got to meet.
Gus and Neil, yeah. He's Gus. He's my boss. He's my CEO. And he just like, I'm the COO. I just do all the work and he tells me what to do.
I'm the only one person that I know that's named. I got
Gus. Yeah, Gus.
Yeah, because you have more of a personal relationship.
Yeah.
So I made my side gig my main gig. So at the time I built the business up that I didn't have to be there all the time. And I was doing a lot of traveling with my keynote speaking engagements.
Okay.
All over the world. I mean, the furthest I went was Thailand, which was so fun. And that was
sounds incredible.
2018. But I also teach a lot of workshops in corporations and at schools, anything to do with mental and physical fitness. I'm all about. Okay. So right now I do approximately one keynote a month, teach one workshop a week, whether it's in a school or corporation, host two different podcasts. And I've also written three books and journals, one for kids, the other two for adults. And it's all about getting your head in that positive, powerful space. And for me,
it,
my friends are like, you're all over. I go, no, it's the same thing. If it's a big stage, or I'm hosting a podcast, or the journals, or the coaching, and I also coach 5 clients a week. It's my mission is to spread joy. And for me, that means getting the people to realize how truly powerful they are. And when they tap in, tune into themselves, you have no idea what you can accomplish, the rocks you can move. You have no clue.
Yeah, I love that. So is Joy your real middle name, or is that something you've adopted?
No, it's my real
name. How perfect.
I know.
Of course it is.
I said, one thing my mom gave me, she gave me my middle name. There you go.
I love it. So is sandyjoyweston.com where people can find your journals and...
So yeah, if you go to my website, there's a tab for coaching. There's a tab for speaking, for books and journals. But I also sell everything on Amazon.
Okay, perfect.
Everything
so
books and journals are on Amazon.
I love it. So you can, in Amazon, you can search by author. So you can look up Sandy Joy Weston on Amazon if you're an Amazon fan. And we'll tag some Amazon affiliate links and get that over to you. But also you can just go to sandyjoyweston.com and find all things about Sandy and the joy that she spreads. Such a beautiful gift. So one of the questions I love asking, because we get so many different responses, is what is the thing that, like, other than your journals, because obviously those are going to be fantastic, but what is the thing that you love to use with your clients as another resource or something that's absolutely just made a huge difference in your life, your business, that's helped you move rocks?
Would it be a concept, or you want to?
It can be whatever you want.
I'll tell you the biggest thing. The biggest thing that I found out, and I think would change whoever doesn't already have an amazing morning routine, is that I studied for years people that I believed exuded pure joy, and watched them, followed them, wanted to know what they did. And every single one of these people from all walks of life, Karen, the one thing they did every single day, nothing was more important than how they chose to show up in the world. And it was all different, whether it was a few minutes or a few hours. And it could have been journaling, dancing, making lips, petting the dog. But if I can make one suggestion, because it's so important when you move your mind and your body and your spirit, if you just spent few seconds moving in any way that makes you feel good, any way, calisthenics, dance, whatever, and then you thought of one word of how you want to show up, pick a different word every day depending on your day, powerful, show yourself grace, you know, joy, love, and then reflected upon it throughout the day. We're not talking time consuming, we're talking a few seconds,
just a sense of intentionality behind
it. And it's just move first and then think, how do I want to show up in the world before the world starts banging you around? And like, it could be, you know, just joyful, laughter, whatever. And you reflect upon it. And all you do throughout the day, am I coming from power? Am I coming from courage? Am I coming from, if not, what could I do there? And then just think of anything before you start your day that puts a smile on your face or makes you laugh. Anything. You could watch a bird. Today I was watching a squirrel. I call him Squirrely. It doesn't take but a minute to do that. It will change how you show up in the world. You might want to add a few minutes after that. You might want to journal long. You might want to dance. But the most important thing is that you're intentional on that few seconds when you start the day.
And I love that.
So that's why I call it movement, words, and laughter. And I've done TEDx talks about it. But it's not just me. You could come up with your own thing, but not just racing, and I know we're all busy, but every single person, I'm telling you, they did that before they went out into the world. There was nothing more important to them, Karen, than how they chose to show up the world. It makes a huge difference.
What is the movement piece to it? Why does that make it more impactful? Is there, what's the science behind that? Do you know?
Yes. So even 1 minute of movement, they've shown there's so much studies, they can research it. It elevates your mood. You get the blood flowing. It's already going to be stress release. It reduces anxiety. There's a whole bunch of things that I'm like, I'm going blank right now. Of course, you wouldn't know it. Mm-hmm. I did it in my text. That would, even in a minute of exercise, they know it's not just, oh, you feel it scientifically. Mm-hmm. It changes how your mind thinks, what your body feels. It changes your metabolism. Just 1 minute. Can you imagine? Wow. So even for me, I do a little thing, like I'll do something like that goes, I'll pick different words. I'll go, I am strong today. I pick different things. I am creative today. I am powerful. I'm full of joy. When I do that, it sends a whole different feeling through my body. You don't even have to dance. You could just march in place. You could walk. You could do calisthenics. Yeah. But it's that movement that connects to your body, and all of a sudden your energy goes
flip. Okay. I love adding the intentional, because I am such a, I always say this, I'm a kinesthetic learner, right? So I say it, see it, do it.
Me too.
Feel it, all the things, right? So that's how, for me, things become permanent and how I really apply things in a much deeper, impactful way. So I love that correlation. And I was wondering if it makes it more permanent, if it's because adding movement to the words and hearing it. So you're, you know, auditory, visual, and physical.
And you're also feeling it more. So think about, I know.
The vibration
not
too,
every
yeah.
day do this, but I've felt that sometimes when I have so much to do, I always start out with, I breathe in peace and I receive peace. I breathe in love, I receive like joy. And I could see myself some days just going through the motions, breathe in peace, breathe in love, breathe in joy. And I'm like, wow. Where am I going in such a hurry? There's nothing more important than how I choose to show up. And am I really feeling it? And just taking a moment to say, what brings you peace? Right? Now feel that. And maybe it's like petting my dog. What really brings you joy? Watching this little squirrel go back. And then feeling it throughout my body. It makes such a huge difference. Like, you know, slowing down to speed up.
We say that. I've heard that so many times, slowing down to speed up. And it's so counterintuitive, but it's like, it can't be wrong. So many people say it, and, you know, I've experienced it too. So I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, you have dropped some amazing, like, gold mic moments in our call today. I love it. And if you're listening to this, we'll have all the links in the show notes, but just you can reach out to Sandy. Now, you said a podcast. What is your podcast?
So I have two different podcasts, but I want to tell you about the first one because it's for women around the world. And it's called, Hey, I Got Something to Say. And I highlight women who are making a positive, powerful difference once a week. And it's only a 30-minute show. And I started that 5 years ago. My other podcast was like a radio show. I started it 17 years ago.
And wow, congratulations.
Women around the world who are making a positive difference. It's a little more deeper. It's a 45-minute show. And it's called Let's Keep It Real. But one thing I do, and the people can look for, I'm on every social media platform. I do daily joys. And they're just a minute tips that I put out, whether you watch Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, whatever it is. And I love them.
I love that. I have started going live every day. That's been a new challenge that someone gave me and I've taken on. And I feel like I'm getting more out of it.
Absolutely.
Than anyone else possibly could, because two things, and I think it goes back to something that you shared earlier, I'm showing up for me. So it's reinforcing that commitment to me. And when I know I have to show up, I get ready, right? So I'm being intentional. There's intentional thought behind my message. And then I talk, and then it's like, wow, I'm proud of myself. So there's this full elevation of endorphins and just this, I don't know, there's something very magical happening. So I can imagine doing, you know, an intentional moment of joy every day would be tremendously impactful. I love that.
Like you said, it's something that occurred to me, and then I go, wait a minute. And I don't overthink it. And sometimes yeah. 50 seconds, sometimes 90 seconds. I'm like, God, here's your daily joy today. And it,
yeah.
And plus for me, it forced me to put a little makeup on or fix my
like, I see, yeah, like, you have to be intentional. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. So I've done one live so far where I showed up a little less, you know, it was a Sunday self-care day. So, so I kept it real. Yeah. So I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on here, for moving the rocks that you're moving, and for just being such a light in the world and bringing and spreading the joy. You're definitely not a joy stealer. You're a joy giver. So we're not going to put that on you, but you are definitely a joy giver. And it's just been such an honor to have you. So thank you for that. And listeners, I want to encourage you to connect, check out her books, check out her podcast, check out all the things, Sandy Joy Weston, her coloring books and everything that she offers. You just have got to check it out. Or journal books, sorry, not coloring books, journal books.
Oh, there's coloring in them. You're right, Karen. There is okay. Some coloring.
Well, I saw the book behind you and it looked like a color book. So that's why I said it. But yes. Okay. So connect all the things and know that you don't have to do it all, but whatever it is that you do, just know you don't have to do it alone. So we'll see you on the next episode of The Rock Movers. Wow. Wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did. And I hope that you got something super valuable. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to The Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.